Hello, good morning, good morning. Welcome to a beautiful day, beautiful Wednesday. Right, might still be Tuesday night where you are, or much later Wednesday afternoon or evening where you are, but welcome, welcome. We started off with a song I ended with yesterday. It's a beautiful song, Great and Mighty God, Great and Mighty by Marisa. Solid, solid worship song. Solid, solid, solid. All right. So we have three more episodes left. Okay, three more episodes left in how to receive from God. Okay, so I'd like to encourage you, please backtrack. All right, we started from last week. So we've done eighth. There's the eighth, all right, episode. And then, so two more. You run to 10. You could also backtrack and go to, you know, how to meditate, or the power of meditation, rather. All right, so just let's listen, you know, listen again and again and be blessed. So much to learn from God's word, so much to realize, all right, from God's word. So much, so much, so much. Let's jump right in. We ended yesterday also, all right, looking at Mark 11, 24. So we kick off Mark 11, 24. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly open. If you don't, listen, but I mean, I'm sure most of us have Bibles on our phones. So let's just roll together, because I want you to see something, all right? And you won't say, oh, that's what he said. No, I want you to say, that's what the Bible said, okay? Not that's what he said, but that's what the Bible said, all right? So Mark 11, 24, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I'll take that again. Jesus, all right, is speaking in Mark 11, 24. Okay, he says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We've said that there are four elements here, all right, on receiving from God. Number one, set a desire. Be specific about it. Number two, you pray. All right. Number three, you believe that you receive. Number four, you will have it. I'll take that again. All right. Number one element, set a desire. A desire, what thing soever you desire. Element number two, when you pray. So you pray, all right? Element number three, believe that you have received, okay? And then you will have. So we've touched, I believe, the fact that if you don't have a desire that is clear, all right? James chapter 1 says, let not that person think he will receive anything from God. So because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you've got to be clear on what your desire is, all right? Must it be down to, so I want a spouse, the height and everything? Yes, some teach that. Some, on the other hand, just, all right. Anyway, so there are desires that, yeah, sometimes you might need to go down to crossing every T and dotting every I and all of that, but it's a desire, okay? A comfortable apartment in a comfortable side of Lagos that is within this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da is also a desire, all right? So, but it depends on how clear you are about it, because we're going to talk about something before we're done today, which leads us to tomorrow. All right, so what things soever you desire when you pray, don't assume you're praying. If you're praying, pray about it, all right? And I know most of us pray. Most of us have we've released our faith in prayer, all right? And then we wonder, why don't I have it? Why don't I have it? So the issue really, the biggest clause here is believe that you have received. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. I'm going to say something now. Believe that you receive them. That basically says, believe that you have taken them. Believe that it's yours. Most times, unconsciously, when we talk, all right, we say, I am believing God for XYZ. I am believing God. All right, unconsciously, that might set your faith into postdated. Why? Because you are believing. You have not believed. Bible says, believe that you receive. So rather than train ourselves to keep saying, I am believing God for, after you've prayed, you are supposed to believe you have received. So the next thing we should now learn to train ourselves to say in the body of Christ is, I believe I have received. All right. You pray about your health. All right. Your health is still shaky. I have prayed. I believe I have received. Okay. Did you get that? I believe I have received. Now, praying about your health is a bit dicey, because most times it's not that God is going to heal you. So when I said pray, maybe I'll explain that as we're going on. So you pray about something, okay? I believe I have received. Spouse, house, baby, I believe I have received. There is an attitude of someone who believes that she has received. There is an attitude of someone who believes that he has received. There's that attitude, all right? That attitude is, it's mine now, okay? It's mine now. So you don't try to get a laptop, okay? Then you have the laptop, and then you now say, I'm believing for a laptop. No, you say the laptop is mine. Now, yes, I understand that that's easy because in the physical, that's how it works. But please understand that that's also how it works in the spiritual. The day you get what you asked for is the day you prayed, not the day you got it. So there are two levels of receiving here. Note again, Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe you have taken it. And you shall. So, and there will now be the, like we call it, manifestation. You remember the case of Daniel? So the angel came to tell Daniel, the day you prayed, God answered you. All right? Your answer had been sent from God. So God is not, in most cases, delaying prayer. God really doesn't. All right? There might be technical things to discuss along that line, so not today. But God answers prayer. And we have rules. All right. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right. 15 says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know therefore that we have received the petition we asked of him. So if we ask right, we get it. James also says, you have not because you ask not. All right. You have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume the thing upon your lust. I mean, your lust. So, in some of those instances, all right, the prayers might not be answered. So there already are in the Bible things that can hinder prayer. They are in the Bible. Okay, but God is not the one hindering the prayer. God has taught us what, all right, in the Bible handles prayer, affects prayer, and all of that. So God is not the one. So the day you ask and you ask right, that's the day you receive. If it takes 2 weeks, if it takes 2 months, you have received. So you put your foot down saying, I have received. So what happens to most of us is we give up. So imagine if Daniel had given up before the 21st day and didn't maintain his faith, didn't keep fasting, all right, didn't keep doing that. The angel might not have been empowered, all right, to get the job done. The archangel might not have been, you know, sent forth to help because, you know, I've been waiting for this thing for like 10 days, you know. Maybe it's not coming. And that happens to us. Then we give up. All right. Sometimes also you pray about something you believe you've received, and then it seems to get worse. Please don't let that move you. Sometimes when it gets worse, it's about to get better. How? Do you remember after Jesus, you know, came down from the Mount of Transfiguration? His disciples had been trying to cast out, you know, an epileptic, you know, boy. You know, and these things, we need to understand the operations of demons. All right, so sometimes we're trying to parley with the spirit and all of that. Most of these things need to be dealt with, cast out. You use your authority to deal with it. All right, so the disciples had tried and they couldn't. But when Jesus showed up, all right, asked what was going on and everything, you remember what he said, then he commanded the demon to come out. Bible said he threw the boy on the floor, began to foam in it. So, I mean, a boy that almost was calm, suddenly, you know, started jerking, started foaming, you know, and all of that. Hey, it looks worse. Maybe that's what the disciples saw. And then they felt, hey, we thought we'd just say come out and it comes out now. That's why Jesus told them that the thing didn't happen because of your unbelief. So you find that in most cases, we're affected by our inability to stay through till we get the answer. We're also affected, all right, by how the thing begins to look. Oh, you believe you receive some amount of money. And that's happened to me a couple of times. And that period is as if money is just like staying far away from you. But you maintain your ground. It looks worse. But while we look not at the things which are seen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, Okay. For the things which we see, they are subject to change. So that ugly situation and how it gets worse is here to scare us. All right. Making us feel how it's really bad. Man, give up. Imagine you're speaking God's word where your health is concerned and the pain intensifies. That's the devil telling you, give up. Your faith is not going to work here. But that just might be that your faith is about to pull through. Then he wants to, you know, he wants to scare you. When we're kids, have you tried, killing an earthworm with salt? You know, you find out that when you sprinkle the salt on that earthworm, it doesn't die immediately. It's still jerking, shaking. But you know it's dead. So you stand there, watch. That's because you have the knowledge. So this is the knowledge we need now. And Daniel's case is classic. The case with Jesus and the epileptic boy, classic. Daniel had a delay and the angel gave him a clear revelation. The very first day you prayed, oh Daniel, God answered. God sent forth your answer, sent forth your word. Very first day. So is there something you've prayed about and you've abandoned because it looked like it was delaying? The very first day you prayed about it, God answered you. The very first day you prayed about it, God answered you. If there is a delay, be like Daniel, keep staying through. If it looks like it's getting worse, be like Jesus and don't be moved by it. Are you getting that? I believe that helped you, all right? I won't be able to stay too long on that point. So believe you have received. So let's train ourselves with a new vocabulary and stop saying, I believe or I am believing God. I am believing God. I am believing God. So it looks like I'm in a process. Now, you might say that, I think, maybe while you're still gathering, you know, the verses, you know, you're stirring up your hope. Someone say, what are you doing? I'm believing God for this thing, you know, so I need to clinch my faith. I need to zero my faith on the matter. So I'm, you know, I need to sort this thing, all right? I want to believe God for something. But the moment you release your faith, you're not in the process of trying to believe anymore. All right? You're not in the process of believing. Believe you have received. Believe you have received. Believe you have received. Did you get that? Believe you have received. One other thing we need to quickly learn is don't allow and don't tolerate. Don't allow, don't tolerate. So in the process of waiting, thoughts will come. Like I just said, process of waiting, things look worse. Do not tolerate the thoughts of, you know, you won't get it. It won't happen. Do not tolerate the thoughts. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, the 8th verse. Peter says here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Please read it correctly. It didn't say he's walking about devouring people. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. So in that case where the little boy was thrown on the floor by the demon and everything, the devil obviously was trying to devour, as it were, Jesus' faith operation in that case. Do you get that? To scare him off and say, hey, I'm going to shake this guy. You can't get this demon out of here. And there have been cases where, you know, I remember so many years ago, I wanted to cast out, you know, a demon from a person, you know, and then... You can't cast me out. You can't. Yeah, those things are real, but your authority in Christ is much more real. Okay? Your authority in Christ is much more real. And yes, the demon came out of the lady. And she shared a testimony, of course, maybe not church, but I mean, she told us, the fellowship visited her again. It was many years ago. I was pastor in a campus church. And then we still visited her and then she thanked us, you know, this has been happening, da 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 da. And then she began to grow in Christ. So you find out that Peter here teaches us, be sober, be vigilant. It means be watchful, be alert, be alert. Many of us sometimes were careless, and it's when we want to release our faith, we want to be serious. When you have a lot of faith project, mind what you watch, mind the songs you hear, be sober, be sharp, be vigilant. All right? Guard your environment. And it shouldn't just be when you want to release your faith. So it could make it the norm. Guard your thoughts. Guard your environment.
Don't speak vulgar from morning till evening. Then the next day, you know, I want to release my faith. You'll be bouncing up and down like yo-yo. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking. He'll go, wah. Looking for whom will be afraid, who will run, who will give up on the faith project. Next verse is the answer. Whom you should resist steadfast in your faith. All right, 1 Peter 5 and 9. Whom you should resist steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That means people are going through similar challenges. So don't let this thing swallow you. Stand your ground. Whom you should resist. And that's why I said, don't allow. Don't tolerate. Don't allow. Oh, there's pain in my head. Let me just sleep a bit. And then sleep a bit. It becomes, oh, I'm coughing. Then then it becomes, oh, I'm feverish. Oh, then my leg hurts. Because you're trying to nurse each thing, the devil is throwing more at you. Resist. Stand your ground. Resist. I refuse to be sick. I'm not the sick trying to be healed. I am the healed. I have to protect my health. By his wounds, I have been healed. Resist. Resist. How do you resist? So we need to quickly get back, all right, to Mark 11. Now, yeah, you might want to guess it right, 23, okay? Resist. How? Jesus said, speak to the mountain, not speak to God. That's why I said, praying for healing, oh God, heal me, heal me, heal me. In God's record, you are healed. Jesus took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses before you were born. All you need to do is stand your ground on what Jesus has done. So what do you do about the pain in your body and the things happening to you? Speak to the mountain. So even after you've said, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because by the wounds of Jesus I've been healed. I thank you, therefore, because healing is mine. I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Great. Don't end there. Sickness, I speak to you. Ache in the back, I speak to you. Pain in the leg, I speak to you. All right? Spasm, I speak to you. All right? Speak to it. All right? Palpitations of the heart. Keep speaking. For how long? Keep speaking. Don't allow. Don't tolerate. Whatever we allow weakens our faith. You know, could give reasons. The reason why this is happening to me is because I did this. You know, if it's something you did wrong, repent of it quickly and use your faith to deal with the thing so that this thing doesn't crush you. Use your faith. Deal with it. Use your faith. Deal. So don't, please. Don't allow. Don't tolerate. Don't tolerate thoughts. The money will not come. You're going to be stranded. Things are not going to work. Hey, you're going to be stranded. The money will not come. Don't tolerate those thoughts. Paul told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. You pull them down. You don't allow. All right? Oh, I'm not ovulating. How do I see a baby? Do you want baby or you want ovulation? Stay on it. Because the devil will keep using, you know, physical signs and symptoms to dazzle you. You pray today, you believe you're healed. Next, tomorrow, just that same evening, the same thing happens again. And then the thought comes to you and says, you know, the thought comes and the thought begins to say to you, it's relapsing fever. It's relapsing. It's relapsing. So you're not like you were healed. You only relapsed. Now it's back. And that weakens your faith. Is there such a thing naturally as relapsing fever? Yes. But don't allow. Don't tolerate. I believe this is very, very useful for someone. So Jesus in Mark 11, 23 says, verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart. See, you have to be tenacious. You do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that the thing you say will come to pass. You will have whatever you say. Guys, the mountain knows when you're serious about what you're saying. Ha ha. The mountain knows when you're serious. Yeah, but I'm saying it. Nothing's happening. The mountain knows when you're serious. The situation knows when you're serious. Because a clause in Mark 11, 23 is believe that the things you say will come to pass. Believe that the thing you say will come to pass. And before that, he said you do not doubt in your heart. You don't give room for a second thought. You put your foot down. Don't allow. don't tolerate. Don't allow. Don't. Please do not tolerate. Fight the good fight of faith. You remember that? Fight it. Haven't done all to stand. Stand with the whole armor of God. Put your foot down, child of God. Don't allow. Don't tolerate. Let's quickly get to Romans in chapter 4. In Romans 4 from verse 17, Romans chapter 4 from the 17th verse, Bible says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. So the word God spoke to Abraham is, I have made you a father of many nations. I believe someone here listening to me, you have a word God spoke to you, all right? Maybe while praying, while meditating or something, but much more, you have 66 books here filled with things that God has said to you. Are you getting that? You've got 66 books in the Bible filled with God's word to you. Because sometimes we unconsciously want to value prophecies, all right? Revelations, much more than the written word. But every prophecy and revelation must always line up with the written word. So go to God's word and find what God has already said to you that he's done for you. Go to God's word. Find what God said he's already done for you. Are you getting this? You know, find it. Find it. Find it. So as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. So 18 says, Abraham against hope believed in hope. That means there was natural hope and that had faded away. Then there's the supernatural hope he had to switch to. Abraham against hope believed in hope, right? That he might become the father of many nations. See that? So God said, I've made you a father of many nations. Abraham had to believe against hope. You know, when they tell you, listen, this is hopeless. When you find a word from God, that hope that they said is gone, there's a supernatural hope you get from God's word. Stay on that one. No matter what they told you, you have to stay on the word of God. So Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become. God had said it. So we say, but God spoke. I'm not seeing it. God spoke. You've got to come here to see the process. Against hope, believe in hope that you might now become what God has said. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. 19, please. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when it was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. This is the hopeless situation they were facing. You know the story. But Bible said he was not weak in faith, he considered not. That means anyone who is weak in faith will be considering. Anyone who is weak in faith will be considering. So when you catch yourself considering things too much, considering the natural, see, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. All right, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. These are two horrible cases. But he didn't consider. But the truth is, hey, but I'm having to look left and right. Remember Peter having to walk on water? All right, he went up, you know, out of the boat because Jesus gave him a word. But he began to look. All right, he lost focus on Jesus and looked at the wind. The wind was already blowing before he stepped out on the water. So most times we now get carried away with the situation and then we consider. So Bible is not saying deny this situation. No, Abraham didn't deny this situation. Hope was gone, but he had supernatural hope and he wasn't weak in faith. All right, so he considered not. So when you start considering, something is weakening your faith. Are you getting that? All right. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So Abraham was full of faith. 21 is where we'll pause on this. All right. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. That is the key. If you don't understand the principle of being fully persuaded, please go back again to the teaching on power of meditation. All right. That would help you solidify thoughts in your heart. All right. You have to speak God's word to yourself again and again. Sometimes we're ill and we don't even spend 10 minutes talking God's word. We don't spend, 1 hour talking God's word. Has it come to that? Sometimes it's more than that. It's more than that because the devil is not playing. The devil is not playing. Are you getting this? All right. So Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. What made him strong in faith? How come he wasn't weak in faith? Because he was fully persuaded on what? That whatever God promised, God was able also to perform. Are you getting this now? Whatever God promised, he had settled it in his heart. So go to the teaching on meditation and get this. All right. So one thing that helps us, which we'll enter tomorrow, I just wanted to end it on that today, is in James chapter 1 verse 5, Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, because your faith cannot be effectively carried out without the place of wisdom or divine direction. Why? You release your faith for something. Sometimes it comes to you. Sometimes you go to it. You release your faith for something. Sometimes it comes to you. All right. Jesus needed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He had to send men to go. You know the story. So sometimes you're waiting. Oh, so I believe, I receive. Haven't believed, you received. Be open to instructions, to direction, and to wisdom. We're going to pick it up from there tomorrow. We're learning friends of faith, associates of faith. Those things that help our faith to work well. Those things that help our faith to work right. All right. Please tell your friends about this. Share this. Follow us on all social media platforms. Have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye.